Welcome to the Chip and Gary Tennis Show again. We're continuing with Coach Snyder, and we just reminisced about Kevin Curran winning the NCAA and giving Coach his first NCAA championship as a coach with an individual player. And then it came back around again, and Johnny Levine almost got there in, what, mid-'80s maybe. And then Steve Bryan. Talk about Steve.
Well, Steve was out of Katy, Texas, and he and Alex O'Brien were big buddies and teammates, more or less, on Junior Davis Cup teams. And I tried for Alex, but I didn't have much luck. His family, his dad, wanted him to go to Stanford, and I think he maybe got a scholarship, but they could afford it. And I never did think Gould even knew what he was getting. I thought Alex was going to be a great college player, and he proved me right. We only won singles and doubles later on. But in Steve's case, he was basically a ground stroker and had a great two-handed backhand. He could really hit one down the line for winners at times when there was an opening. So anyway, his drive, he went through the field pretty well, but he had a tough match against one of the San Diego State players, I think it was, in the quarters. I won't know all the names or remember. But in the finals, he played Jason Netter. We were playing out at Indian Wells out in California, and he won the first set, and I can't remember if it was 2 out of 3 or 3 out of 5, but I remember he was trading serves, and it was getting kind of tight because Jason was a good player and was hanging with him. And he got down 5-40 at about 4-all or something like that. And I thought, oh my, you know, I could just see it's been a turning point. I had my assistant, Edgar Gibney, at the sidelines because he wasn't as nervous as I was. He was good, calm, steady.
Edgar is calm and steady.
Good at analyzing things. And anyway, I don't know if Edgar had anything to do with this, but finally at 5:40, it looked like this was pretty important and critical that he win this serve and stay on top. He, darn if he didn't just serve and volley, and he put two first volleys away, and then from then on he sailed on through and won the match. And we were really excited and happy for him. And then we had doubles team that same tournament, Mitch Machoka and Michael Penman. They were in the finals. They knocked off, I think, maybe Stark and Palmer. Stark was the guy expected to win going into the tournament.
Jonathan Stark from Stanford.
He had beaten Steve in our dual match prior to the singles and doubles tournament. And Palmer was, you know, had been a top junior. They were a great doubles team. Anyway, I think maybe we were the ones that knocked them off in the semis. But we weren't quite as lucky. They got beat in the finals, Pittman and Machoka, but they'd had some good wins to get there, and that was really they overachieved as far as I concerned.
That's a pretty good year. Pretty good year.
Credit, yeah, that was about as good as you could hope for. Mm-hmm. And they lost a team from Cal Berkeley. So I don't remember the names, but it was a good tournament. We won the singles and came back runner-up doubles. That's pretty neat.
And you put 22 teams in the NCAAs, 22 different years. So let's see, that would be 90. And then what year did you step down from coaching?
2000. I had 10 more years.
So you had 10 more years of players. So you got to see a lot more after that. Who were some of the memorable players that you remember afterwards? I know there's so many that you're going to miss some.
Well, later on, I haven't thought about too much lately, but guys like Jack Brazenton and
he was a great player, Jack Brazenton.
Yeah, and Dwayne Hawkins came on as my assistant after that and helped me with recruiting. He was good, young assistant coach. He'd come from Kentucky. He'd recommended him as a good possible replacement. He really did a good job for us. You might have to help me along here a little bit. Do you remember any of those fellows yourself? Or you
well, B.J. Stearns. His
yeah,
dad's...
B.J. came out of, you know, his family. It was a, his dad's a real tennis pro, worked with Stan Smith some, I think, and some of the clinics or camps.
Yeah. And who else, who was your assistant after Edgar left?
Well, I mentioned Dwayne Hallquist. I don't know if
Oh, that's right. Dwayne was. That's right.
There might have been a gap there, but I think Dwayne came on, and I get to kind of thinking of one era, and I have to kind of shift gears to think of that.
I know. It's hard to shift gears on that. Yeah.
We had a good team. We were continued to be top 10 team, but I'm probably have to get a yearbook out or something and start thinking about some of these guys.
And I look over on my this All American thing that I have, and it says it's signed by you, Dave Snyder, one of the years as ITCA president. How much, that was the Intercollegiate Tennis Association president or vice president. How much work was that? Was that just a couple meetings a year, or was it a lot of work?
Yeah, we do a lot of, David Benjamin got involved there, and we were, that was really before, it's what's it called, ITA or whatever today. We helped set up the ranking system, got it started. It's changed a lot. We set up national indoor singles, national indoor doubles. That was partly Sammy DeBalva down in Houston. And we did, involved in the draws at the tournament and deciding where the NCAA was going to be held. So it was, those kind of things that had to be decided. We had sort of a committee, and I was spending time on that. We had a tournament out here at Lakeway with Kevin, won the year before, what year he won NCAA's, 79. And that was a Michelob Light, and I always felt kind of funny about that. They gave us $80,000 or something like that to put their name on it, and I drank or smoked, so I felt funny about having a beer sponsor. Yeah. But I guess they do that all the time today. Anyway, that was part of what went on while I was president. But like I say, we had some good other coaches that were pitching in. Denny Schechter, some of these different ones around the country were involved. Bobby Bayless was always real helpful out of Notre Dame, and different ones you knew you could count on. And I was happy when David Benjamin was sort of a natural for that sort of thing. He was spent time doing some of the types of things. It took time.
He was an intelligent person.
He had a PhD, I think, and so forth.
You've got a PhD too. Now, not to say that you're not intelligent too, because we all know how intelligent you are. But
drawing a blank on some of those players later on.
Well, Coach, I can't remember him either, but I wanted to ask you, out of all the years, probably 70 years of tennis, what are some of the most important things that tennis has given you?
Well, as I mentioned, of course, it was a chance for me to work with some great kids. And like I mentioned earlier, it just amazed me that how many of them, they graduated, they got to be sort of the thing you're supposed to do, and they did it. And they, they had such great attitudes and end up having great lives, and they're still going strong. Mm-hmm. We had kids that really married the right gals and did the right things. We had several pros around, deputies in Dallas area. I mentioned Pilot out in El Paso, and Scott Stewart's been a real great fan and great of Texas, and he's over at Midland, done a wonderful job.
Yes, he has.
So we've had some people in the pro business, but a lot of them eventually were lawyers. And that Chuck Fraser, it was a doctor, he was a walk-on, but he's been a guy we've kind of pointed to, talked about him and Jeb Bush as two walk-ons that really were more nationally known for other, you know, other accomplishments.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Chuck Fraser, if for listeners, that's the doctor that's kind of running the hospital there in Austin. He's saving Stuart Keller, one of my teammates, that I went through the hospital with him one day. He's just saving lives every day, you know, of children and doing things like that. That's kind of impressive.
And,
now, Jeb Bush, he was on your first team, wasn't he? He's one you didn't mention from your first team.
That was a little bit of Bayless's idea. He said we got nine guys or something like that. We need one more. We call everybody, have somebody he can pair up on all the courts with a partner. So we end up. He said Jeb Bush, the next best guy around campus. Won't you invite him? Let's have him come out. And so he was good enough. He played, and he played one some matches. So. Anyway, he was, ended up, of course, running for governor, won the governorship of Florida, and was ended up running for president.
Yeah, well, he's 5-0. I notice in the back of the Texas record book, he's got a 1,000% winning percentage.
And
so I think that's going to be tough to beat.
Hey, it will be hard to beat. Yeah, if he ever gets a. Another run at the presidency, we'll be rooting for him.
You know, if anybody can talk a coach into letting their buddy be on the team, it'd probably be Jim Bayless, wouldn't it?
Well, he knows what's going on, I'll tell you that.
Talk about Jim Bayless a little bit. He was on your first team, and he went to Washington, didn't he?
Well, yeah, he went to SMU Law School and ended up back in Washington, D.C. It was sort of, kind of a lobbyist. I don't know. He'll tell you specifically. But
went there with John Tower, working for John Tower originally.
He had good connections. He knew the Bushes. And I think got the team a chance to play on a White House court. One that first year, or so first time we went to NCAA, so he's well connected.
Wow, that's right.
He's
back in Austin, and I saw a picture in his book with the White House picture, actually, with everybody has on except President Bush has on that beautiful white polo shirt with the Texas Longhorn head on it. It was Bill Fisher and Jim and Graham Whaling, and who am I missing? Who was the other one that was up there? Dan Nelson.
Yeah, the number one. Yeah.
Yeah, of course. So that must have been a fond memory. So you didn't go to the White House though. You met them.
No,
was it at Princeton that year?
Yep.
Awesome.
It was. I've kind of forgotten. I think I was probably in Colorado and came from that direction. And these guys all got in a car and took off. And they might have played another tournament before, but they Bayless had it all wired so they could go through Washington, D.C. I guess it was on the way, or they made it on the way to Princeton. Yeah. And we had a good team that year, even though, you know, I was just getting started. But they're very responsive, and I'd kind of had to, you might say, change the culture a little bit. We'd probably practice a little harder and longer than Wilmer had. And we're taking it pretty seriously. In fact, they kid because we had maybe Sunday before the tournament, it was predicted rain, and so I got them up about 5:30 or 6 or something. I said, guys, let's get out there on the court, make sure we hit some balls, get used to this, you know, these courts before it rains. And so we were first out on the courts there on Sunday. I don't know if it rained later on or not, but the tournament's going to be starting the next day, and I want them to get adjusted so they remember the fact they lost sleep that morning.
Did they tell you that they were going to be at the White House, or did they just kind of tell you that once they got there?
I don't remember the exact exactly how that worked out. I thought it was kind of a neat thing. There's, you know, you like to have some other experiences besides just tennis, and you, how many times you get to do that? But
never.
I wanted them to know why they why the school was paying their way back there too. So we had to be ready as we could be to play our matches when time came. But that was pretty neat. We did several things on trips where we, you know, went out of our way to see something that was educational or interesting, something that they wouldn't normally get to do, and that about as good as it gets.
Yeah, one thing I remember is when we were playing LSU and going from from Southwest Louisiana, we stopped and watched Pete Maravich and the New Orleans Jazz play in the Superdome against some team. But I think Jim Bayless may have won the consolations either that year or the year prior at NCAAs. They used to do a consolations at NCAAs? I guess they did.
I won it.
You won it?
I did.
you and Jim got that in common.
Yeah, we got that in common. I didn't realize it. I'm sort of starting to wake up a little bit.
I didn't know there ever was.
Cole was on one of those later teams. He's a coach at OU. And we had, that was a good pairing. And Devils, Nick and playing. He's the coach at Oklahoma, of course. Mm-hmm. Steve's the coach at A&M.
Steve Denton is, yes.
Yeah.
And you got the Oklahoma and A&M, so you've got Texas surrounded by your proteges.
In our conference, yeah.
Well, you know, one thing that I will say, and maybe I'm a little biased, but it's kind of bears itself out, is that when Kevin Curran came to Texas, and he was, granted, it takes a while to play in the United States when you're in a foreign country and all of that, but Bill Fisher had matched points on him to see who went to the national indoors in the first year, and Steve Denton playing 6, 5, 4, working his way up through the years, as Kevin did, because Kevin came and started lower and later liked playing lower, I think, but when he was even
mind.
When he was the best player on the team. But it's interesting that you really developed those guys. I saw it, and it's
well, they came
pretty
home. I don't know but we, you know, whatever. We played a lot of tournaments and practiced hard. I always sort of felt like players were just going to get better the way we organized our practice. We like to start off with some stretching, but we kind of had drills where we hit certain shots to certain parts of the court, and we end up playing, you know, singles or maybe doubles, one for one or the other. But we play both singles and doubles usually about every day, and end up with some type of conditioning that's just kind of skimming through it. But we kind of try to hit all the shots, and you know, expected everybody to try hard and concentrate. So it's kind of like good habits every day.
Yeah. Well, coaches.
Another guy that played with Cole. I'm stumbling into some of these names that I should come off the top of my head. You know.
Who is that?
Paul Martin from England.
Paul Martin. Yes, I think Paul Martin's doing some professional coaching on the ATP tour right now.
Yeah.
Yes. He's a big boy, isn't he?
Yeah.
And then had big, tall Ian Williams from England.
Yep.
He was 6'8".
And going back a little bit, Ian came in from Harvard, and Chad Clark was a star. He was number one or two in the country, two or three in the country.
Yes, he was. From Longview, Texas.
He, Scott Stewart had helped to encourage him to come to Texas. He was about to go to LSU with Jerry Simmons, and he was really up there high ranked, and he played with Trey Phillips, and they got to the finals of NCAA. We had four NCAA finals.
Trey and Chad did. Boy, that's a tough team right there. Now, Trey Phillips could play some tennis. He could hit the ball hard.
Yep.
He's a big boy.
He's a good – he was – you know, I tried to – took a day or two to see if I could get him to hit normal ground strokes, and because he had a weird grip, real Western.
Yeah, he really whacked
it. He could almost hit a forehand, backhand, same grip. And after about two or three days of hitting the fence or something, he couldn't keep it in. Anyway, I said, just do it your way. He just, he was okay that way. He just looked different, but he got the ball where it needed to go, and they were really a good team. We had some good results in doubles, and never could quite win one. But I mentioned Machoka, and of course, going back to you and Kevin and Steve and Kevin and
Charles and Royce.
Charles and Royce, and then
Penman and Machoka. Wow.
Yeah. So we had some teams, Clark, and Chad, and Trey Phillips were. They were good. They could have won. I mean, it's close enough. Just one of those little tight ones.
Yeah.
That's the way it goes. Win a few and lose a few.
Well, but they're all nice guys. Every time I see Trey, he's got that big smile on his house, on his face, and those cute little girls and wearing a big old bow tie and a smile. But how many of the who was from Austin that played? Let's see.
How many of the people? Nelson's originally in Byfield.
Nelson's Byfield.
Wiegand.
Yeah. John Wiegand. John was living in San Antonio when he played on the team, or we count him as Austin. And then Trey.
Yeah. And Paul later on. And then Paul.
Yeah, Paul.
John, the young one, yeah. We had some Texas guys, a kid out of, Kerrville, but probably won't come to me. But we had some Texas kids. We wanted to get the best Texas kid if we could, and if we couldn't, or we didn't think anyone was quite good enough to really help us, then we started moving out from there.
Yeah. I was just wondering if later on, besides Trey, if there were any other Austin players on the team. Specifically from Austin, because I don't remember too many of them.
Yeah.
He was probably the best.
I'm not thinking of anybody immediately,
Well, Coach, what's going on with you now? You and Coach Woods playing some ping pong? Or
yeah, we play ping pong twice a week if we can. And I play golf two or three times a week, depending on the weather.
Yeah.
And there's some activities. I'm here in a retirement center. There's a lot of activities. My wife partakes more, gets to more of the book club meetings and things like that than I do. But she's real active, and I'm pretty active, I guess. They have entertainment in the evening, and it's a good life. She doesn't have to cook as much.
Yeah.
And have somebody come and help clean up once a week and stuff like that as far as housekeeping. So we're doing okay.
Well, Coach, thanks again for joining me on the podcast, and I'll be talking to you again soon.
Fine. Thank you. You're doing a great job. Appreciate it.
Well, thanks, Coach.
We'll see you. Bye.
Bye-bye.